verse 24. And if you want to follow it in your pew Bibles, then it's on page 1080. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we pray that your word may come alive in our hearts this morning, and that we might receive from you that which you want to give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, they are still hungry. It's the next day. They've had their daily bread for one day, but it's the next day. And they're hungry again. Being human, we are always hungry. We're hungry for food, but we're hungry for a great deal more besides. We sometimes feel empty. Being bereaved, meeting with great trauma, terrible things happening in life can leave us empty and bewildered. But we can be hungry for other things too. We can be hungry to be understood. We can be hungry to be heard. We can be hungry for success. And we can be hungry to be loved. And it leaves us feeling that there's always something more. There's something more out there. And I was quite horrified to read in the papers this week of how many people feel that there's more outside their marriage than what they are experiencing. In Britain, a recent survey and study suggested that almost 60% of men and more than 45% of women will cheat at some point in their marriages. No wonder the article goes on, so many adultery websites like AshleyMadison.com exist and have found it easy to attract custom. And female more than male in many cases. A survey by the website Undercover Lovers found its female members had 2.3 lovers on average, and the men just 1.8. Don't you like that? Just 1.8 lovers. There is a deep underlying dissatisfaction with life. And Jesus came to change that, to bring life in its fullness, a life that satisfies like bread satisfies hunger as nothing else can. Jesus, on that hillside, longed for those people to know that there is a way that the hungry human heart can be truly satisfied and that hunger met. And he said to those crowds who were desperate for what they thought would satisfy their physical needs, "Do not work for food that spoils," he said. "It's just temporary. But for food that endures to eternal life." And he wanted to assure them that this food was not something that they could work for in the sense of doing something to deserve it. Like, the harder you work, the more you get, or the more successful you will be. But rather, this is not something to be gained, but rather it's something to be given. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, that the Son of Man will give you, will grace you with." In verse 35, Jesus says very simply and plainly, "I am the bread of life." That which gives life, that which sustains life, a life that death itself cannot destroy. Jesus is himself claiming to be the one that meets us at our point of need and satisfies our deepest longings. And so here he now makes it very clear how this gift of life may be received. And it is, by R.S. Thomas's phrase, a simple faith, green as a leaf. It's by faith, by coming to him and believing in him. Jesus goes on to say in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This, says Jesus, is the work that God wants you to do, or to make your goal, the focus for your life, to believe in the one he has sent. Now, we don't often think in terms of work like that, but it is the work of God in us that is most important. And by believing, by having faith, we are opening ourselves, we're saying yes to God working in us. But sometimes we can be working so hard at living life that we forget that it's the life that God is living in us that really matters. I remember Bill Hybels, the pastor of the Willow Creek Community Church, sharing how he went through a huge crisis in his life, where he was working so hard, this mega church in America, in Chicago, huge numbers of people coming, massive projects to help the homeless, to help the hungry, to be people who would be reaching out to millions and millions of people through their network of relationships and through their communication systems. Coming to the point where he had to admit publicly, and he did, that the work he was doing for God was killing the work God was doing in him. And that is a sober reminder that whoever we are, however involved in Christian work, inverted commas, we might be, there is a real sense in which we can not allow, not rely on the strength in which God gives us to do that work. So let's think of another type of job. If you're looking for work, you might come across a unique job offer in the papers or on the internet. And the job is called Living Life to the Full. And underneath it has two things, the primary responsibility of the job and the person spec for this job. And the first thing, the primary responsibility, the main goal of this work is first to believe in the one God has sent, and the second, the person spec, is the ability to fall down. Okay, Right, let's see what this job investigates. So we look at the details of the job, and we see to believe. That's quite easy. Most people can say we believe. I remember going to see Bristol Rovers a season before last with Martin. And it was at Sue Richardson's season ticket. I was sitting in her seat. And we had a great time, really enjoyed the game, and it was 1-1. And Rovers were in danger of being relegated out of the Football League altogether. And the crowd were desperate to see them win, pressing for this final goal. And you could start to hear around the ground, remember this, Martin? They were saying, "I believe. I believe." And as they started to place even more aggression, "I believe." And they scored. And they won. And then they got relegated. But they did believe. It's not that kind of believing that Jesus is talking about. He is talking about believing in the one God has sent. And that word has a particular meaning. And as I went over to sit in this chair, I was coming quite close to the meaning of the word "I believe." Because in the early days of translating different languages into the Bible, there was a person who was out in a country where they didn't have a Bible, and he wanted to translate the word for believe into a language they could understand. And so he asked the tribe's people there, he said, "What word do you use when somebody does this?" And they told him what the word was, and he used that word to describe faith, to believe. Because literally it means to put one's whole weight upon. Not a chair, but a person. The person of Jesus Christ. Many believe that there is a God. Most believe that there was a man called Jesus. But few believe in the God made known to us in the person of Jesus, who died, was raised again from the dead, and now is alive and can be known personally as the Lord of all and as our friend, one who we can trust totally. So that's the job. His primary responsibility is to believe in Jesus Christ. But what does it take for somebody to fulfill that job? What's the person spec look like? Well, the ability to fall down. Let's look at the details of that. Fall down, it says, has two meanings. First, to fall down on one's knees. To fall down on one's knees in the sense of, "Lord, I can't go on anymore like this. I'm so, so sorry that I have tried and tried to find any satisfaction in life in all these many different ways, and none of them work. I am so sorry that I have looked elsewhere when really you are the one and only you can satisfy my deepest longings." And so we come to this Jesus who we know is there in repentance. We turn to him and we fall down on our knees, metaphorically or physically. But there's a deeper way of falling down, which is not just on one's knees, which is on one's face in total abandonment. It's a word that's sometimes used for worship, to prostrate oneself before God. And it's then in the place of surrender, in total abandonment, that God can really get to work. It starts when we know our need and we come to Jesus as we are and feed on him, the bread of life. And that is a work that is, yes, it requires us to take action, but it's also something of the work of God in us, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He convicts us of our need, because he loves us and he wants us to know this life in its fullness. And he enables us by his grace to let go of this holding on to life and surrender completely to him. And it's then that the job begins to take shape, that we can start the work that we've been called to live life to the full. Because it is the work of God, the work of God in us, that will bring a fullness of living that is far more than anything we could ever imagine, and far more fruitful than anything we could do out of our own strength. The fruit of this work, the life that comes from this place of belief, of kneeling down, falling down before God, is the work of the Spirit, and it brings freedom. Service is perfect freedom, says St. Paul. And we have been given in Christ the freedom to be ourselves and to find our true selves. We are free from a constant hunger for stuff which never really satisfies us. There is a joy in serving others and seeing them flourish, a longing to worship, not just on our own, but with other believers gathered together as part of a community that the Holy Spirit is building and will continue to build. But that's something that doesn't just happen on a one-off experience. It's something that happens day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. And so each day we come to God in that attitude of falling down and being raised up. And I was very struck by some words that Iona Iggy, as she's known by most of her friends, shared with me about her experience at Taizé, a community in France, where she spent a couple of weeks ago. Would you like to just come forward and share something of what you found there that was the result of worship and abandoning themselves to God?
Yeah, so I recently spent a week in Taizé, which is this huge monastery in France, and it welcomes thousands of young people from all over the world to come and join in the community life for a short period of time. So I was there for a week, and we were joining in everything the monks were doing. So the main two things that it revolves around is worship and serving. And I think the thing that hit me most was how much one led to the other. So in the worship, there was prayer three times a day, before breakfast, before lunch, and after dinner. And it was about an hour each time of sung prayer all together. And there was this incredible sense of unity, because there were people from, I think, 130 different countries, and they were all young people, students mainly, who, apart from like youth leaders and chaplains and people who'd taken them, but it was mainly people my age from about 130 different countries, all singing in different languages with harmonies and this incredible, incredible sound and sense of unity. And I really, really found that that completely translated into when we were working together. So you'd come out of midday prayer and people would literally run to the kitchens to be the first people there so that they could be handing out the meals. And I was part of a team, I think there was 20 of us washing up for 3,000. And we'd come out of prayer and we would continue singing as we washed up. And I would never have thought when I went that washing up for 3,000 twice a day would be the highlight of my day. But it was so much fun. We had this incredible like system of getting the washing up done with this amazing like kind of production line thing of throwing plates to the next washing up bowl to be rinsed. There was a lot of singing. Some of it was Taylor Swift. Some of it was worship songs. And there was so much joy in the kitchens, a lot of water fights, a lot of bubbles everywhere, but this complete sense of togetherness and working together to get the job done so that we could go back to the church, because worship started in the evenings, worship started at 8 o'clock, and it just continued. And I'd have to go out to do my washing up or to have some food or to see some people, but then I would go back again because there was just this pull towards the church. And I think one night I was there from 8 till 3 in the morning, and the worship just continued. I just couldn't leave because it was beautiful and lovely.
Thank you very much. Indeed. Thank you. Well, so I don't know whether God will provide some sandwiches and things for us this morning, but carry on for a little few hours longer. We will actually be having some Taizé worship as a regular part of our worship here in Christchurch. We're going to begin in the second Sunday of October with an evening of worship on the Taizé tradition using some of the songs, and no doubt that Taizé worship will weave itself into all our different acts of worship, because it's a very beautiful, beautiful thing. Because the spirit of the beautiful God is in it all and infusing it all. And there is a sense in what Iona shared that brings these two things together, of worship and service, as something that is seamless. It is all part of the one life that God is giving us and wants to give us in his Son. So that freedom, that joy, that fullness is expressed not just in an act of worship for an hour or so on a Sunday, but infused the whole of life. And therefore, it fits very closely with that whole idea of Jesus making us people who are doing the work of God in every moment of our lives, that we are full-time Christian workers, all of us, every day. Because the work of God, said Jesus, is to believe in the one he has sent. And living out that job description is not just a one-off event. It's not just a one-day thing that happened when we first became Christians. It's something that continues trusting and believing each day of our lives, feeding on Christ, the living bread, in whatever way is right for us and whatever opportunity we have. Let me just close by saying these very simple thing. That, as Iona mentioned, the character of the monks and the nuns who led that worship and invited others to join in was from the monastic tradition. 3 times a day. Morning, noon, and night, a biblical tradition. And it's interesting to note that the word that is used in the monastic tradition for the work of God is Opus Dei. Opus Dei. That's what they call their worship and their prayer. The time for stillness, for reciting the Psalms, for prayer of confession and thanksgiving, for interceding for the life of the world. That is the focus. That is the work of God, the Opus Dei, that everything else is built around. It's not fitted in with the whole of the rest of life. It is built around. The rest of life is built around those 3 times. And so doing that work, letting God do his work in our lives, deepens faith, strengthens trust, so that life becomes full of the fruit of the Spirit and the overflow in the washing up, in the doing the household stuff, in the caring for the person who is so demanding, in the acts of sport and great celebrations that we do. The whole of life can be infused with that Spirit's life. And next Sunday, we'll continue to listen to Jesus with the crowd and explore what it means to feed on Christ, that bread of life. And to do that as we come to him and receive by faith with thanksgiving the body and blood of Christ in an extending act of Holy Communion. Let's pray. I just want to leave a moment for the Holy Spirit to bring home to us one thing that he wants to underline for us, challenge us, encourage us, comfort us, speak to us about right now from his word. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Do your work in us now, we ask. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit who know themselves spiritually poor. Lord, may we be receivers of your blessing as you long to bless. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.